It's Bad Cop and Bad Bad Cop in charge of Ireland as the FAI surprised us once again by appointing the dynamic duo of Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane. Martin O'Neill, former Northern Ireland captain, won 64 caps, played in a World Cup and managed 8 clubs with success at Wickham, Leicester, Celtic, Aston Villa, and he most recently managed Sunderland in the Premier League. Roy Keane played 67 times for Ireland and 4 times for the under-21s. He really made his mark at international level with the outstanding performance at the World Cup in 94. In the years that followed, Roy went on to captain Ireland and helped us qualify for the World Cup in 2002. He went into management and brought Sunderland from the bottom of the Championship right through to the Premier League and kept them up next season. This is the Why Big Football Show. I'm Dave O'Grady. We're going to be talking about all that on the programme today, but to kick things off, I'm delighted to be joined by Cork man Ger McCarthy of the Irish Examiner, Setanta Sports, Backpage Football, and Derry man Ryan Kelly of Goal Ireland. Lads, you're very welcome. Ryan, to bring you in first, Martin O'Neill, a terrific appointment, but the Roy Keane package as well. We couldn't have wrote about this kind of thing. I don't think anybody's seen it coming. Terrific example. I know I hyped them up there in the intro, but on paper, this should work.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, well, they're two vastly experienced individuals, you know, both whenever you look at their playing career. And, you know, Martin O'Neill has a lot of experience with Celtic and Wickham and Leicester. He's achieved a lot as a manager as well as a player. And they've got two great personalities. They're both driven men. They're both intelligent men. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out, you know.
What do you think, Ryan? Are you delighted seeing a Derry man now in charge of Ireland?
Well, as I was saying to a lot of my friends, it takes a dairy man to get stuff done. So, it's good now. It's interesting. It will be interesting to see as a former Northern Ireland international how that will kind of go down. There's that aspect of it as well. But it should be good for players like James McLean and Darren Gibson and the Northern based players. You know, so
there was a bit of a crazy line in the Telegraph, just picking up on a sidecar because I have to bring you in on this one. I think the last line I've said that as a Catholic, there's no doubt Martin O'Neill will be welcomed in the Republic of Ireland and that kind of thing. Was that a little bit tongue-in-cheek? I mean, surely people can think that it wouldn't matter what kind of religion they are.
Well, that was in the, I think it was in the Daily Telegraph, and I think that's one of those things that probably the sub-editor should really have picked up on. It shows a level of ignorance, really. The implication being that, you know, if he wasn't a Catholic, he wouldn't be warmly welcomed. I think that's more of a mistake on the writer, the sub-editor's part, you know.
Yeah, I seen it floating around on Twitter and I really was shocked at it, to be honest. Ger, to come in to yourself, Roy Keane, he's lit more fires in Irish football than anyone, I think. He's created more headlines than ever before. A journalist's dream, but from a footballing point of view and for the country, a good decision?
A surprise decision. Whether it's a good decision or any time will tell, I'm afraid. I knew of O'Neill's impending arrival, like, just I'd say about Thursday night, early Friday morning. The news was breaking, basically, that O'Neill looked at, once O'Neill had met with Crystal Palace and decided that he wasn't going to take that job, the Irish job was for him. But the arrival of Roy Keane as one of his backroom team, one of his assistant manager, took me and took an awful lot of people by surprise. And it is a big shock, simply considering his past history with the FAI and the fallout, and dare we say the word Saipan. But look, realistically, from Roy Keane's point of view, if you analyse it from in the call light of day, from his point of view, he's an opportunity to work in international football. He's an opportunity to work with somebody he has an awful lot of respect for, Martin O'Neill. It's in Roy Keane's interests to do a good job and to do a competent job, because if Ireland are successful under Martin O'Neill, it will rub off on Roy Keane's reputation. It will, I think, help him if he looks and in the future and wants to become a club manager once again, certainly cross channel. It's certainly not going to be any harm to have that on his CV. There's an awful lot of baggage with Roy Keane, but thankfully, having listened to John Delaney on multiple, the FAI's John Delaney on multiple radio interviews this afternoon, it seems that the hatchet has been buried between the two of them. It seems that John Delaney is happy for Roy Keane, or for, if Martin O'Neill wants Roy Keane, then that's fine by him, because he won't have to deal with him day to day. The real question and the real dynamic will begin when Roy actually gets out on the pitch and how he interacts with the players, whether or not he's going to interact with the press. I doubt it myself. I don't think he's going to be there Saturday when O'Neill is officially unveiled. But look, I think it's a positive move. I think the two people, Ryan was spot on, they've got so much experience. They've got so much managerial experience, both good and bad. They're both hungry and anxious, and they want Ireland to do well. They're on very, very good contracts. So there's an incentive, there's impetus, and let's face it, facing into a friendly against Latvia, how many people would have bought tickets prior to today's announcement? I think long term, it remains to be seen whether it's all going to work out. But I would hope that because the two of them have got so much experience, I think they've got so much desire to do well for and to bring Irish football on, I think it's going to be a success. How we define success, obviously John Delaney said today, qualification for 2016 and qualification for the World Cup is desirable. But in the immediate here and now, the FAI need to put bums on seats. They're in perilous financial state. I think the appointment of these two guys is going to help that. I think it's going to give a fresh impetus to all the fringe players and the players who might have been out of favour with Giovanni Trapattoni. There's a plan. The only thing is, from the media's point of view, it's fantastic. It's great. Like, it's brilliant. I mean, I could write about Roy Keane for the next 10 months.
Yeah.
But and Martin O'Neill. And just on that, I think Martin O'Neill is a very, very smart guy. I think Ryan put it quite well there about his background there a while ago as well. But if you're Martin O'Neill, think about it. You picked Roy Keane. You know damn well what's going to happen. Look what's on Twitter nearly explode. Facebook has gone in flames. Everyone's talking about Roy Keane. Everyone's talking about him coming back. And whilst all this going on, and whilst all the attention is currently being focused on Roy Keane, Martin O'Neill is freed up to go off and do what he needs to do, which is win football matches. I think he's smart enough to know that all the media attention was going to come with this appointment. But he's even smarter to bring in his own people like Steve Guppy, Steve Walford, Seamus McDonough, a new backroom team, fresh pair of eyes. I think it's going to be good for Irish football. And most importantly of all, I think the fact that O'Neill, the spotlight is actually going to be off him a little bit. I think that there's going to be so much focus on Keane and how he interacts that for the time being, it's going to be good because it gives O'Neill a chance to get down and dirty and get on with the job. But here's the thing, Dave. It's 10 months to the first serious Irish international.
Yeah, it's going to be a completely different team to what we're what they
absolutely
start. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It could probably all going to all end in tears down the line. But for now, I'm happy for Irish football. I think Irish football is back in the front and back pages for all the right reasons. There's impetus. There's a bit of excitement. Hopefully that'll rub off on the players. And look, for the next 10 months, there's time to build something. I think there's two people out there that are now there, Keane and O'Neill, are smart enough and good enough, along with his new backroom team, to do something positive for Irish football. And that's what everyone wants.
Ryan, how important is it that the FAI finally got their man? Because with Martin O'Neill, they've tracked him down since Stan was sacked, even before that when Brian Kerr was finished with Ireland. They kept trying, but he was always either involved with a club or not. How important was it that they set out their stall early, they targeted O'Neill, and they put the right deal on the table, and that's what they got? They really wanted him all along.
Yeah, well, as soon as his name was mentioned, he was not many people had very many bad things to say about him. The appointment gives a bit of stability to the players, in that they'll soon know where they stand. There won't be any uncertainty like there was about a prospective period where Noel King might have been managing. People were kind of already getting a bit frustrated with that idea. But also from the perspective of the FAI, the stability and the fact that O'Neill and Keane are there now, it gives people something to look forward to. As Ger said earlier, it's fresh. Everything's fresh, and that can only set a good kind of foundation going forward into the qualification.
What about the pressure, though, Ryan, now on Martin O'Neill? And Ger made a few points that Roy Keane will be taking a lot of the media hype, and it will allow O'Neill to go about his job nicely. But the pressure of knowing that we always wanted Martin O'Neill to manage this Irish team, or at least the FAI always wanted Martin O'Neill to be their manager. Now they've finally got him at long last. Is the pressure going to be very, very much so like it was on Giovanni Trapattoni when he first took the job?
Well, in a sense, the team is at a bit of a low ebb. So I felt that the only way is really up. you know, if you just look at the if you look at the rankings and that, we're down to the '60s and that. It's, you know, the only way now is kind of up. It's I think personally that O'Neill and Keane are on, you know, with the they can't lose much because the chances of the them qualifying for Euro 2016 are greater because there are more teams involved. And you know, I'd say they'd have to make a lot of mistakes to mess this one up, to be honest with you. So I actually think that the pressure, you know, the pressure is probably not as high as you might expect.
That's a key point, Ryan, because I think a lot of pundits are saying that no matter what happens in this qualifying campaign, the chances are we'll always be at the business end come end of it.
Well, it's, you know, I think we have the players, and with the fresh setup with O'Neill and that, they'll get everybody geared up, and everybody will be going into things with a more positive attitude, I think, already. Like O'Neill and Keane, they've adopted a bit of a they've been a bit jovial in their interviews there with ATV, but they said that they're going to be, they kind of joked that they're going to be a bit tough, you know. So I'd say that
Adrian Childs, in fairness, Ryan, didn't do us any favors with that.
No,
we were expecting a little bit more, although they are pushed for time and they are broadcasting, I suppose, to mostly a UK English audience, it's probably fair to say.
That's true, yeah.
But, Jura, just a point that Ryan brought up about the players and that. Is there not a great fear? And this was one of the things that I was worried about Martin O'Neill not taking the job. And now that Roy Keane is, it just makes my idea kind of go out the window. I don't know what I was thinking when I think back to it. I was afraid that Martin O'Neill was looking at this Irish job and looking at the current players and the fact that we have two players really just playing in the top three, top four of English football, and that's James McCarthy and Seamus Coleman. And I know they didn't have a great performance there last weekend against Spurs, but is there not a fear? There was always this fear that they wouldn't take the job because we simply didn't have the players at a high enough level to compete. Would you say that went through their minds? What do you think can happen there?
Well, the information that I have and that I read in the previous couple of weeks, when Rude Doctor and Ray Houghton began their search, they were told to cast the net far and wide, and I was happy enough with that. I remember saying on a previous podcast with you that I mentioned Frank Rijkaard and a foreign coach, because I felt at that stage that O'Neill didn't really look as if he was interested in the job. But the reason I don't think he was interested in the job is he was hankering for a Premier League managerial post, and November is the best time of the year for that. And with the likes of Fulham, Norwich and Palace, as we've already seen, Palace changing managers, there was not the chances of an opportunity to get back into the Premier League were good for him. So it was in his own interest to hang around. I disagree with you. I don't think it's a case that either he or Roy Keane would have looked at it and said, you know what, we don't have the players. Because even if they did think that, they've got the bones of a year to get things right before we start the qualification process for 2016. And although the remit, as John Delaney said today, is to qualify for 2016, I'd much prefer to put the building blocks and the foundations in place. I don't think it would be the end of the world if we didn't qualify. I mean, qualifying for the next World Cup is absolutely imperative. We must do that. I read as well today that there's at least two players in the dressing room. I don't know how true or false this is, but I've read in a couple of places there's at least two players not happy with the thought of Roy Keane getting involved in Ireland again. I don't know who they are.
I bet you could hazard a guess though.
Well, I don't want to say, but for various reasons.
But no doubt Roy Keane is going to come in with a fresh openness that, you know, he's in a number two role. This is the serious point.
Yes.
He's in a number two role. The main pressure is never going to be on him. It's always going to be on the manager, who is Martin O'Neill. This might allow Roy Keane to actually do some of the work and use his experience as both a player and a manager and do some real kind of underground work, something that he hasn't really done before.
Exactly. And one of the things that seems to have come out today from a lot of John Delaney's interviews and a bit of the dispatches that have been kind of being drip fed to the media is that one of the things that both guys will have to do is to go and turn up to a lot of Premier League and Championship matches and watch a lot more players. Now, that's something that Keane can do. It's something I think he'd like to do.
He does it anyway as a hobby. I've seen him. He was at Wigan not so long ago, sitting probably on his own in the crowd with the amount of fans that they've had.
his point about Wigan was that he enjoyed going to Wigan because he didn't have to do the small talk with people. You know, maybe small talk isn't the right thing. But anyway, I think the other thing he mentioned today, which is a real bonus, I think, for the League of Ireland, is that one of the things he wants to do, he has a very, very good knowledge of the League of Ireland. And you say, well, what difference does that make? Well, the 17, 18 and 19-year-olds that are coming through League of Ireland teams this year and next year are the players they may more likely have to go and turn to in about, you know, come World Cup 2016. So it's important that there's some link to the League of Ireland, I think that's a good thing, and I think Roy Keane being the person to do that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either. So I think, as I said at the start, it's in his interest to do a good job. It's in his interest not to make a bags of it, basically, or to fall out with people as best he can. The dynamic of how the training ground is going to work would be very interesting to see. But I think because Steve Walford and Steve Guppy, I mentioned it earlier on, are O'Neill's men, and because when he was with Leicester, when he was with Celtic, the groundwork was done by these people, and John Robertson as well, while he was at Sunderland until he took ill, were done on the training ground. And look, they've got 10 months to work it out. That's the thing I keep saying, that today's a great day because the announcement, he's a little bit excited, but the real meat and drink starts. Obviously, it starts with, you want to start building a foundation, build a formation, get in as many new players as you can. But you mentioned the two Everton players there, they're playing the top flight. Already, Stephen Ireland has been on Twitter this afternoon, and this is the next story that's going to break in the next couple of days. Stephen Ireland's return to the Irish setup, which I think...
What did he say on Twitter? Because, to be honest, I do follow a lot of Irish players, but I might have just overlooked that tweet. Do tell us.
Well, I think it was one of the journalists that had been speaking to him, but he's very excited about O'Neill and Keane taking over with Ireland, and he's very interested in sitting down and talking to them if they're up for it and see what's up with. So there you go. Complete turnaround already. But look, there's so many positives that you can take from these guys, these appointments, that it's a good day for Irish football right now. I don't expect any miracles in Poznan. I don't expect any miracles on Friday night against Latvia. It'd be interesting to see how he sets up the team, O'Neill, because he'll have to take the training over the weekend. So there's a couple of ins and outs. There's going to be a few things that'll go right, things that'll go wrong. But as I keep saying, hit the ground running, lay the foundations. They've got plenty of time to go and work on it come September next year when the real business starts. And I think there's too much good footballing experience in there. Both of these managers, Keane and O'Neill, had relative success, O'Neill far more so than Keane, until things went wrong at Sunderland. So as I think these two are a great appointment, and I think getting it right over the next 10 months, they'll get more things right and wrong. But in the long term, being ready for next September, having a settled side, bringing in some new blood, wherever they manage to get that from, that's the key.
Yeah, okay, that's a fair point. Thanks a million there, Cork man Ger McCarty. We're also delighted to be joined by Kilkenny man James Carew. James, we've heard a lot of positive. The first 10-15 minutes of the show has all been positive about this great appointment, the dynamic duo I referred to them as. Bad cop. It's going to be interesting to see, what does a good Kilkenny man of Pogma Goal think about this dynamic duo?
You want me as a Kilkenny man to be praising of a Cork man, Dave?
I want you to go with your heart.
Honestly, Dave, and I, anyone who knows me, I was a staunch anti-Keen after Saipan.
No doubt about that.
I spoke to you, Dave, on the last podcast, and Ger was there as well, and I said if Martin O'Neill got the job, I didn't think it was a wow factor. And I wouldn't have thought if Mick McCarthy got the job, fans were particularly wowed either. And I didn't want Roy to be the number one for various reasons. But I am excited about the two of them together. I think the two of them, the duo working together, has excited everybody. I do look forward to what they're going to do. We don't really know how it's going to pan out, Dave. But what I would say, and what everybody has said about Roy Keane coming on board, is there's a fear factor amongst the players. I think everyone's going to buck up their ideas. I think there's a little bit of fear about the upper echelons of the FAI. I think even our media at press conferences are going to have to buck up their ideas as well when it comes to the asking questions. And I think that's a good thing. I think a lot has been said, and we spoke month after month about how poor we played under Trapattoni and the style of play and everything. And I know Eamon Dunphy many's a time said these players give everything in his attempt to kind of deflect blame onto the manager. But I think there's a difference between certainly a fan watching from the stands would say a team that for 90 minutes and game after game after game continues to lump the ball long when they have to win is not giving 100% effort. Now, that would be my view. that a team that really wants to win, and I think this is where Roy Keane would come in and Martin O'Neill, that he won't put up for that. If you're going to continue for 90 minutes to thump the ball long in a game we must win to qualify, you're going to be taken off. And that's what the previous management didn't do. So that's why I'm looking forward to everybody pulling their socks up, raising the standards, which has always been associated with Keane, raising everybody's standards and qualifying. And I would disagree slightly with Ger in that I don't think they'll necessarily be given the luxury of not qualifying for the next thing, for the next tournament. Where Roy Keane is concerned, you can bet everyone will be demanding that they qualify.
I can imagine though, James, at the same time, the type of characters that Martin is and Roy are, if they don't qualify, there's a good chance the two of them will pack their bags themselves.
Yeah, that's very true, because they'll demand one thing's for certain.
It's not going to be like the cozy job maybe that we've seen when we thought maybe Giovanni Trapattoni was having, you know, where he was enjoying international football as a kind of a nice kind of hobby more so than an actual real passionate job.
No, I think within the first team meeting, when the players report either Sunday night or Monday, I believe they'll be flying in, I believe one of the first things the management will say, not only do we want to qualify for the European Championships, we want to try and win it. And that will be the mentality that they bring from the start. Now, it's something Trapattoni never really said. It was, and when we did qualify, it was about, it was never such a thing as just turn up and as even as Mr. Keane said himself, enjoy the sing song. It wasn't that. But the whole mood of the thing is going to change, and it's what people really need. What I've been struck by, I've been struck slightly by a lot of the negative viewpoints about Keane. I was a little bit surprised how much negativity there is out there.
It seems to be almost like on ybig.ie, it seems to be almost 50-50.
Yeah, and I'm surprised about that, because as someone who was against him for an awful long time, I felt I was in the minority. But I think it's very much split down the middle. But apart from that, what this has done is it's brought the interest back up. We were talking about possibly the lowest attendance ever for this upcoming Latvia. Now it's probably going to be a sellout.
Just to answer James on that, there's not an awful lot of, actually, what I meant to say about the not qualifying for 2016 is my own personal view is that if they're building a team from scratch, which I don't think they necessarily are, but if they're bringing in a lot of young players over the next 10 months to 2 years, whatever, that it wouldn't be the end of the world for me if we didn't qualify, provided there was enough raw material, enough potential over that time period that showed that we were capable of qualifying for the World Cup. The immediate need for this management team is to get Ireland moving forward, as James correctly alluded to get away from the negativity that was there under Giovanni Trapattoni. But don't forget, Martin O'Neill is a staunch 4-4-2 man, or has been for most of his career. So I don't foresee any great tactical nuances and changes, but at least the fullbacks would be allowed across the halfway line, which would be a first step. I think the bounce we're going to get and the feel-good factor, and even though you're saying there that a lot of the forums are split down the middle 50-50, the thing for me is, look, let's give them some time. Let's let them lay the foundation, lay the groundwork, and see what they can get and the kind of players that they're going to bring in. I mean, when you look around the current Irish setup, are there that many players outside the squad that are capable of coming in and you know, taking over some of the main positions? I don't think there are. I think we've got a core of about 11, 12 decent players that can do a job for you. But after that, they need to start adding, they need to start experimenting, and they need to start bringing in some young, untried talent. Where they find that and where they get that, I don't know. But for now, and just the other thing about the Cork thing, just because I'm from Cork, I didn't necessarily agree with the whole Saipan thing either. I thought both sides were wrong in that way back when. I don't think either side, Mick McCarthy's side or Roy Keane, did themselves any justice. I think, and I thought one of the best tweets I've seen all day amidst all the media hype and everything was somebody tweeted. I actually retweeted it myself. That Saipan, something like 24,000 Japanese soldiers lost their life in Saipan.
Yeah, no,
and yes,
it's fairly
all
true.
All we worry about is a guy and a fallout with a manager from a World Cup. And I think a bit of perspective is needed in the long term. I'm hoping this chapter of Roy Keane's life is a positive one and a successful one for the Republic of Ireland's sake, not for his sake. But I'm really happy. Out of the three contenders that were there, Keane, McCarthy and O'Neill, I'm happy that O'Neill got it. Because there doesn't appear to have been many other contenders out there. So for that, I think we've got the right man at the right time, who's very enthused, who's going to do his best and do a good job on it, I hope. And as of now, it's all positive. let's give it time before it all blows up, is what I would say. But right now, I mean, I'm not just positive because Roy Keane's involved. I'm positive because Martin O'Neill is at the helm, and I think he's a sensible guy who knows what needs to be done. And people are talking about players stepping up, you know, wanting to impress Roy Keane. They're missing the point. It's O'Neill they need to impress, and he will not suffer fools gladly. He's never done that at any of the clubs that he's been with, and I think that's going to be a real key for the Irish squad. That it's O'Neill they need to impress, not necessarily Keane, even though he'd be keeping a keen eye on them, you know, with his beady black eyes staring through the hole, giving them the stare and the eyebrows.
It would make it would make it come to pieces, that stare.
Yeah, so look, I'm intrigued to see how the game against Latvia goes. And look, isn't that what the FAI wanted? They want people talking about Irish football again. They want people on the they want Irish football on in the newspapers, in the media, for all the right reasons, moving forward, trying to get to 2016 and also trying to get to 20 or to the next World Cup. And that's what everyone wants. And irrespective of what you think of Keane and Mario, what's happened in the past, everyone, I think, on this pod shares the same view that we would love to see the Republic of Ireland qualify for the tournament.
I think a lot of people would agree with you. I was very surprised myself to see the old Saipan argument come up there, and Roy Keane, and we keep getting this whole line that Saipan heads keep thrown at us, walked out on his country. I'll never support an Irish team as long as Roy Keane is involved with us. I mean, everybody knew Roy was a passionate man and maybe a very short fuse, a lot of people will say. And, you know, I think, as you said, both parties were to blame. When you put somebody out, bring him into a crowded room and basically out him for criticising the facilities, but do it in front of the whole squad. What do you expect a guy with a short fuse like Roy Keane to do? Don't get me wrong, Roy Keane had a lot of negatives, but I thought, in fairness, you know, as a player for Ireland, you know, he made his mark at the 94 World Cup, really did. He even came back after Saipan. I thought the bridges were surely built at this time. But I suppose, as you said, if people are talking about Irish football, then at least the FAI will get their wish. Ryan, I just want to bring you in on a point here, okay, about the players and what they can work with. Now, Ger mentioned that Martin O'Neill tends to use a very 4-4-2 formation, doesn't tinker too much with it. But is there going to be a lot of differences between the way he'll manage and Trapattoni will manage? If a player is doing dreadful, surely they won't be left on the pitch.
I wouldn't be so sure there now, because O'Neill is kind of, he's notorious for having his favourites and being kind of rigid at times. You know, you saw that at Sunderland whenever he was managing there, and it kind of, it was to his detriment in the end, even though he might argue that he didn't get enough time. But a lot of people should be wary about getting carried away. I think people should be wary about getting carried away with the appointment on purely the pair's reputations and the hysteria over this appointment.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, Neil, Roy Keane and Martin O'Neill won't be playing the matches.
Yeah, that's very true, Dave. The first thing you always have to look at in an appointment is it the right appointment? Then secondly, you also have to look at, do we have the players? I think it is the right appointment. I think Martin O'Neill was the outstanding candidate there. He had the best CV. But he certainly won't just make our players into world beaters. But will he improve the players? Will he make them better than what they were under the closing years of Trapattoni? I think there's no doubt about it, he will.
And Neil of Near FM, sorry I didn't introduce you coming
That's
in there.
Okay,
I knew you were on the line. I had to introduce you. You're a dub. Are you happy with this appointment, the Dream Team? I know a lot of Irish fans are, but there is, as Ger, Ryan and James will tell you, there's a lot of them that aren't too happy with the Roy Keane factor in there.
Well, first thing first, the manager who was appointed is Martin O'Neill, and I'm delighted with that. I think he was the right man for the job. Then he has his job to appoint his staff. He appoints Roy Keane because he feels he's the best man. I trust Martin O'Neill to come up with his backroom staff. I think there's an awful lot of hysteria. People are getting caught up in a frenzy about Roy Keane. I think the two of them were on ITV this evening. They seem very cool, calm. They have a good working relationship with each other. It's up to Martin O'Neill who he chooses to have as his backroom staff. Trapattoni had a tough tackle at midfielder as his number two. I don't see any problems with it, but Roy Keane has plenty of reputation for having issues with players, but I think as a number two now, he's going to have to rein that in a bit, and Martin O'Neill will be the one calling the shots. So it'll be interesting to see how Roy deals with that. But I think it's a great day for Irish football that Martin O'Neill is the manager. He does have his flaws. He's not the perfect manager, but he was the best man for the job, in my view.
Yeah, Dave, just a point on the people who are not so happy. And as I said before, I would...
You're certainly in that group, James, the Saipan heads that I referred to earlier.
Yeah, I was against them, and subsequent comments in between that wouldn't have endeared him to me and lots of others. And in fact, it would have turned a lot of people against him who had previously supported him. But regardless of that, we have to acknowledge that there's a large proportion of people who didn't want him involved this time. And I think that has to be borne in mind, that not that you need universal support. I think Neil made a point in a previous podcast. You don't need universal support for the manager. But we should acknowledge that part of the Irish support is not happy about it. And it shouldn't be an opportunity for those pro-Keane or whatever to gloat over it. Because we posted a piece this week about, if you remember, the Switzerland game and the immediate aftermath of World Cup 2002, when they booed, when the crowd chanted Keno around the ground, and it was aimed at Mick McCarthy. Yeah. And I was there. It was one of the most poisonous atmospheres I ever experienced, because it was real vindictive. People were shouting at each other on the terraces, saying if Keane wanted to be there, he could be there. And he walked out and the manager kicked him out and all this kind of stuff. So the strength of feeling is huge. And we should just acknowledge that some people have to be won over. But if they qualify, success breeds success, and it'll get people on board. And that's the job they're hired to do. So we should let bygones be bygones, as they say. We should rally around and get behind them. But we have to acknowledge that it's not 100% among the fan base.
Yeah, that was an interesting night. I was there myself on the freezing cold North Terrace with bucket seats actually put up on it. And I remember, you're right, it was a poisonous atmosphere, and I don't think it was very fair to the players, to the manager. Who?
Oh, I think even Kevin Kilbane was bore the brunt of it. I from my memory, he was kind of pushed into a forward role, and people were saying, what's going on, before he was substituted. And Kilbane, who everyone knows went on to become a stalwart, a firm fan favourite, he was booed, and then the atmosphere turned against McCarthy. It was just a horrible, horrible situation, and it shouldn't be the reverse now, that we have fans coming in chanting Keno, Keno. And as Ryan pointed out, Martin O'Neill is the manager here. Martin's number one, Roy's number two. In a sense, it might take some of the flack off O'Neill, but the buck's going to stop with him, as a previous manager once said.
Dave, go ahead, Neil.
On that point, I think we should be talking about Martin O'Neill. We should be examining his record, the style of tactics, the style of football he played, the tactics he's used in the past. I think Jerry said earlier he was a 4-4-2 man. I think Celtic fans would disagree there. I think he played 3-5-2 at a number of times. I think he played 4-3-3 at Aston Villa. He's not as one-dimensional as some people portray him to be. He does like his favourites when it comes to picking players, though. He doesn't. He wouldn't be like Rafa Benitez and be a fan of a rotation. But at an international level, that's probably not as relevant, because the games are so spread out. But I think I'd prefer if the media coverage concentrated on Martin O'Neill and his style of management, and give a forensic approach to it. Because in the end, Trapattoni got a forensic approach to his management, and I think it's good for Irish football when we do.
It would hardly ever be 3-5-2 or that, though, Neil, or 3-4-3. Can you imagine the likes of John O'Shea and the legs? There'd be a lot of running for those back.
Liverpool are playing 3-5-2 at the moment. Now, I know they got beaten playing it against Arsenal. But they're doing okay in the league. I wouldn't dismiss it. I'm not saying Martin O'Neill is going to do it, but he did it successfully at Celtic a number of times, playing Lubo Moravcic behind two players up front. He's well capable of playing 3-5-2, but he may play 4-3-3, he may play 4-5-1 or 4-4-2. We don't know, but I'd rather the conversation was more on Martin O'Neill's tactics than something that happened 11 years ago, not 13 years ago, despite what John Delaney says.
I think it brings it out in all of us, though, Neil, in fairness. But you're 100% right. Jer, just to bring you in on a point on the tactics, and he Neil's absolutely right. You know, it'll be interesting to see what tactics Martin O'Neill uses his players. Will we still have the fans and the usual pressure from Irish fans to pick the right team? That's always going to be there. There's no escaping, no matter who the boss is.
Yes, two things. One, the Irish fans will want to be entertained, so they don't really give. I don't think they care too much what formation is used, as long as they can see success and as long as they can be entertained. entertained in the football that they're paying in to see. Two, I agree with on the formations. I think that there's O'Neill. I shouldn't have suggested that he was just a 4-4-2 man. Obviously, he's experimented with other formations. What I want O'Neill to do more than anything is to look at the players that he has and then choose the formation that suits best the raw material at his disposal. I think he's going to do that, and I hope he does that. The one thing I do want different from the Trapattoni era, which wasn't all bad, by the way, but what I want is to have the fullbacks that we have, Wilson and Coleman, who will most likely fill the fullback slots, give them a license to get forward. Give them a license to cross the halfway line to join the attack and give us two new avenues on either wing to go at teams. Too often under Trapattoni, as rigid and as solid as the 4-4-2 formation was, it was so rigid, there was no dynamism about it, there was no fluidity to it. And I, just to answer Neil, and being in the media, and I know this, what's going to happen in the coming months and years, O'Neill is going to be forensically analysed, just like Trapattoni was when it comes to his formation, but he'll be granted a couple of months or a couple of matches first to try and get his house in order and see what style he wants to approach and what style he wants to adopt. But again, I come back to it, look at what he's got first and go at it from there. I get the impression with O'Neill that I think international football actually is going to suit him. I think it's going to suit him a lot better than he actually realizes, because in club football, it's day to day, it's week in, week out, it's go, go, go. I think the fact that he's going to have a little bit more time, I think the fact that he can sit back and look at and analyse what's coming up is actually going to suit a guy that's really, really good when it comes to tactics and really, really good when it comes to getting the best out of players. So I'm positive about Martin O'Neill, and not even want to mention Roy Keane. I'm positive about the fact that I think international football in the long term will suit him. And I see, like, what is success under Martin O'Neill? I mean, that's a question for another day. Right now it is getting bedded in, getting the players in, getting a style, adopting a style, picking a formation to suit the players that he's got. And I think he's capable of doing that and doing that very successfully.
Okay, a question I have to ask to each of you guys, and I don't like having to go down the negative route, because I certainly it's not good, but it has to be said. Neil, I'll start with yourself. Which type of players that are in the current squad or are in the outer squad, we'll say, that we might have seen over the past few months, do you think are in danger here of losing their place, of losing their chance of getting call-ups, do you think, with Martin O'Neill now as manager and indeed Roy Keane as his assistant? Do you think there's anybody in danger?
Simon Cox probably is someone who may not be in future squads.
He wasn't actually called up. He was one of the losers.
He wasn't in the last squad.
Yeah, by King.
He has been in the last few months. Simon Cox, possibly Paul Green, although his hard working ethic may be attractive to Martin O'Neill and to Roy Keane. It's a hard one to say. I would say Simon Cox is one of those who, I don't think there'll be any big names that would be dropped.
Okay,
Robbie Keane may not be as central to Ireland's starting 11 every single game as he was under Trapattoni. That could be the more interesting one, rather than not being in the squad, not being in the starting lineup. That possibly could be it.
Okay, Neil. James, to bring you in, and I want to put this to you. Do you think there's going to be any players not going to be in with a chance because of previous personal difficulties with either Martin O'Neill and Keane? Now there is names more so with Roy the Boy, but
I'll say the name, John Walters, Dave.
He was Keane's captain at Ipswich and they had a big falling out and Keane got rid of him.
Yeah, but is Roy Keane going to tell the manager of Ireland, you can't pick him because I had a disagreement with him? Roy Keane's the number two, let's not forget that, Dave. But I think they actually are two big enough characters, and I mean O'Neill and Keane here, to give it a clean slate.
Sure.
Everybody starts here. Everybody said things in the past. Roy Keane has said enough to know that, especially in his punditry role, to know that people are going to talk about him. God knows he's done enough talking about the Irish setup in the past. He knows that all that's going to be dredged back up. But we're starting from a clean slate here, and it's O'Neill ultimately who will pick the squad. But what I would say, Dave, is we're talking about, you know, will he potentially have favourites and all this. It's, we go back to the age old argument about the Irish teams. You pick the players on form. If players are not performing in the Premier League or lower, the likes of, although Kevin Doyle, to be fair to him now, has, it's doing okay the last couple of weeks, but the likes of Doyle, when he wasn't scoring, Shane Long is not playing well in the Premier League. Dave, should he start now? Exactly. Robbie Keane is still doing the business, albeit at a perceived lower level, but he's putting the ball in the net. So will Robbie Keane stay as the captain? Will he keep playing? Is Glenn Whelan going to get in the team if he's in and out in place of, if you wanted to say the other Cork name that's on everybody's lips, Stephen Ireland going to come into the team? You pick the players on form who are performing week in, week out. Or are we going to see a repeat of the Trapattoni tactics, which is favourite players?
Okay.
And repeated, it's Martin O'Neill will make that choice.
Okay, very quickly, Ryan, yourself, I mean, we've heard a couple of names. I know Anthony Stokes is another name who've had problems because he missed a bus under Keane. And I think Damien Delaney got penalty points because of he was speeding in order to get to training. Do you think there's going to be any issues there?
No, well, I think I'd agree with James whenever he said that it's going to be a clean slate, really. I think the coming months we'll soon learn who and who hasn't fallen into line. But I very much doubt that previous relationships or strained relationships will have much of a bearing on the initial stages of this new chapter, to be honest with you.
Excellent, Ryan. A clean slate. And Jure, does it open up, as James was saying, a certain Mr. Ireland and a couple of other players into the squad? What do you think?
I think it does. And I'll give you three names of people who I think are in serious because of their form and for no other reason, their poor form right now. Glenn Whelan, John Walters and James McLean, I think, are going to suffer when the two over time, unless their form improves for no other reason than that. Who comes in to replace them, I don't know. If Stephen Ireland comes in and does a good job and scores a few goals, everybody will forget about it and we'll just get on with it again. But those three guys, I think, are in serious danger of losing out.
Thanks a million for that, Jure. Just before we rock and roll away from the show, lads, thanks a million to all of you guys for being on, making it a very interesting Why Big Football show. Ryan, a terrific League of Ireland, a terrific FAI Cup final. Really enjoyed it. Fantastic 3-2 controversy. It had absolutely everything. Well done to Sligo again, although Silgo, I think they're calling it on their trophy. But a fantastic advertisement for Irish football.
Oh, definitely. I think that that exciting FAA Cup finals to close out the season have become a bit of a tradition in recent years, you know. And it was a tremendous advertisement for the league. And the only question now is, how are we going to get more than 17,000 people into the Aviva to watch it?
Yeah, there was a huge crowd when Shamrock Rovers played against Sligo Rovers, I think, a couple of seasons ago. The FAI had got their pricing right. But if we keep seeing finals like this, really enthralling stuff and great goals scored, surely to God, it's evidence that the League of Ireland is on the up.
Well, it's hard to say, you know, people up their games for finals and that, but I mean, you'd hope that it is the case. I mean, there's more and more talk with all the ex-League of Ireland players and the Irish senior squad, you know, and there's a bit of an increase in the league, you know, in the media wise and as well, in the top teams. But, it's a matter of going to the next level now, you know.
Ian Barraclough has done a terrific job, Ryan, hasn't he? I mean, fair enough, they won the league last year. It's very hard to maintain the League of Ireland because of how competitive it is, but winning cups as well, he really knows his stuff.
Oh, he does. He's and it's interesting now that you know, he was linked with that Notts County job. He would be a real loss to the league. His positivity is infectious, even if you don't support any teams or whatever. It's hard not to like the man. He talks in such positive tones, and you know, I think that as much as it was difficult and for Mick Cook to lose his third final this season, it's just rewards really for Ian Barraclough and all the work that he's put in at Sligo Rovers over his tenure thus far, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations to Sligo Rovers. Commiserations for Drogheda. But one thing's for sure, they made it a hell of a final. James, to come to yourself on any other business, I think it's fair to say. Full credit to, it's a pity we don't have Joe on the show, but full credit to John Daly doing the business for Glasgow Rangers. Fantastic hat-tricks and then braces. And he's a good man that just keeps on scoring.
Yeah, well, you're really putting it up to it now, Dave, aren't you? What are you trying to say to me?
I suppose the question is really, it's great to see a player come into a club like Rangers where there's such a stigma attached and, you know, go against the grain, as to say, and play for a big club in Scotland. I know they're rebuilding and everything at the moment, but it's really great to see. And personally, I, for one, think it might open the floodgates for Irish players not to be afraid to go and play for them.
Absolutely, Dave. If a Dubliner can play for Glasgow Rangers, does he expect to come home and play, potentially play in Ireland, or if he was called up to be booed at his hometown stadium? Like this, like you, that would be just ludicrous. So at the end of the day, it's another football club, and if he's a player doing the business, that's the end of it.
Yeah, Neil, to bring you in, you're a Dubliner. Happy to see an Irish lad doing the business for Rangers?
Yeah, well, the nature of his club, or the name of his club, wouldn't bother me one bit, but the level that he's playing at, it's not really that significant. The Scottish lower leagues are not the strongest in the world. The Scottish SPL is not the strongest in the world. So someone doing it at the lower levels doesn't really... It's fair play to him, and it's nothing against him, but I don't think it should be really top of our agenda in what we in relation to the national team.
Absolutely. Is it not breaking new ground, though, Neil?
Well, it is. But I'm not one for the whole Celtic Rangers thing. I think they're two big clubs. I'd be very much coming from the view of what level they're playing at. So it's not something that... it's probably newsworthy, but it's not football worthy, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Dave, yeah. I'd rather see a League of Ireland player get a look in.
No, I was definitely...
No, they're playing at a higher level. League of Ireland is a much higher level than what Rangers are playing at.
That's it, Neil. That's what I mean, Neil. Like, if we're talking about going to look at a player at Rangers, then let's look at...
Yeah.
Well, let's look at League of Ireland then.
If it was Rangers of 10 years ago or 15 years ago back in the day when they were playing Champions League, fair enough. Then it'd be significant to do with the Irish national team. But now it's a novelty, as Dave's saying, but no more than that.
Yeah, I suppose after a few games of it, the novelty wears off really, really, really quickly. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time here on the Why Big Football Show. Our best of luck to Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane and the whole new Irish management team. We're delighted to have them on board. It's going to be a fascinating couple of months. And as Ger made the point earlier, a long time since those Euro qualifiers begin, but no doubt there'll be a lot of tinkering done. My thanks to Neil McDonough, James Carew, Ryan Kelly and Ger McCarty. We'll do it all again soon. Remember, if you want to email the show, it's dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. Thanks a million, lads. Chat to you soon.